Hi there, and welcome to the Cory Doctorow podcast. This is the second canned installment of Knights of the Rainbow Table. It will be the end of Knights of the Rainbow Table, the thrilling conclusion, as it were. I'm recording this in London before heading to Toronto and New York. I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for hanging in there. A funny thing about having your secrets all exposed in one big whack. It's over quickly. I may have had a hobby that was as weird as a two-headed snake, but apart from that, I was a monumentally boring individual. It pains me to admit it, but I was essentially a harmless kook. The world took a hard run at my email corpus and pretty quickly extracted any messages having to do with sex, finances, or where I called someone a nasty name. Everyone had a good chuckle over these and then returned to their regularly scheduled porn, political arguments, and operating system advocacy. Just like that, I was a nobody again. I took advantage of the lull to refurb an old computer and slap in a big hard drive and download anything I'd stuck in the cloud to my local storage, wiping it all out behind me as thoroughly as I could. Most importantly, I stuck my master password file on the disk and not on the network, even though that meant I now had to concern myself with keeping backup separate from my machine. Muskowski was good about letting me stick a hard drive in his desk drawer and back up to it every time I went to the law office. Every bit on it was encrypted with a new 104-character password that I memorized from a freshly shuffled deck of cards. This may be the only positive aspect of being bankrupt and facing a jail sentence. I didn't really care about all those lost online accounts, and really didn't care that any loser could authenticate himself to my bank and pose as me and raid my empty bank accounts. But I did feel a kind of hollowness that was even worse than the hunger that gnawed at my guts all day and all night. A feeling that I'd lost something, like I'd misplaced an internal organ. It wasn't something that I could talk about with Tracy and Tristan. After all, a substantial portion of their email had been exposed along with mine, since I'd saved all the email they'd ever sent to me. Muskowski would have lent a sympathetic ear, but he wasn't really a member of my subspecies, and there was some stuff that we just couldn't discuss. There was really only one person I knew who was still on speaking terms with me. Unfortunately, he was the guy who'd gotten me into trouble in the first place. Niratpatanasai answered his mobile phone on the third ring. "What can I do for you?" He knew who it was. I was already in his contacts database. He was that kind of organized. "Where are you?" "Why do you want to know?" "Because I'm at your house, and I've been ringing your doorbell for 10 minutes, and you haven't answered, so I'm assuming you're not home and hoping you're not too far away." "Oh," he said. "Okay, fine. You know, some people call before they come over. It's often considered the polite thing to do. So, are you far away?" "I'm in the backyard," he said. "Can't hear the bell. Come around." I found him standing over a large, gleaming gas barbecue fitted out with 2 propane bottles. He was working a hand-crank coffee roaster with a large, battered, scorched drum, wearing old clothes and a broad-brimmed, fraying straw hat. The smell was bitter, but not unpleasant. "You roast your own?" "I'm learning," he said. "I've been practicing for a couple of years, and I still can't get the hang of it. I'm trying to get a bean that's as good as the stuff the Australian cafe down the road sells." He shrugged. "I wish I could say that my beans taste better because I've roasted them myself, but I'd be lying. I'm an amateur, and the lady who roasts for Cobbers does a new batch every week." He turned the crank for a while longer. "I'm getting better, though." "The coffee you served me the other day was amazing." "I cheated," he said. "That wasn't my roast." He turned a while longer. "And you vommed it up about 10 seconds later." "Ah," I said. "Nothing personal. Just a thing I do." "So I gathered. I think Tracy's right. You need to go back to the doctor about that." She'd sent several pointed emails on the subject. "You had a look at the corpus, then?" Calling it the corpus helped me distance myself, damp down the visceral reaction I had whenever I thought about all that mail sitting there online. Couldn't help myself. Wish I'd signed up for your chivalric code. I might have been able to stop myself from peeking. "You'd be the only one," I said. He turned some more. "Well, it's bound to happen to lots more people soon enough. Of course, you know that better than most people. No one can plug all the holes. It's like trying to stop burglars all by yourself with bars and locks instead of cops and social norms. Eventually you find yourself living in an armed compound or losing everything. Look at me with my out-of-date firmware on my router." "Nobody's perfect," I said. We stood in silence for a time. He checked a timer stuck to the barbecue and stopped turning, killing the propane. He slipped on some oven mitts and did some after-roast arcana with tongs and bags and funnels. The smells were incredible. He piled his working instruments up on a picnic table and took off his gloves. "Sucks about your email. How'd they get you?" I told him what I'd guessed. He nodded. "Yeah, that would have gotten me too. You memorized a 100-character password?" 104. "Took some doing," I said, "but you could learn how to do it." "Look, I've been in tech a long time, but I prefer to learn my skills at least 10 minutes before they go obsolete." "Good policy." "So I guess that's it, huh? R.I.P. privacy, just like the Google man said it back in the old days. Christ, what an asshole. Oh, this is bigger than privacy. RIP remote authentication is more like it. Or lots of kinds of remote authentication. Passwords, anyway. Good riddance. Now I can free up all that disk space in my brain that I've been devoting to storing and retrieving meaningless strings. He led me inside and made some coffee for himself and got a glass of water for me. We sat down in his overstuffed, cat hair-strewn, embroidered sofa and sipped. Think you'll go to jail? Don't feel guilty, I said. If it wasn't you, it would have been someone else. I don't feel guilty, he said. You had it coming. Chivalry or no, it's just creepy wrong to let yourself into other people's computers and networks and poke around. If your point was to create a social norm of not breaking into other people's computers, maybe you could have tried not breaking into other people's computers. It's crazy, I know. I hung my head. Well, yeah, I said. We could have done that. I should probably be angry at you, he said. You know that there's going to be a million kids out there who try to copy what you did and justify it by saying that you did it. Well, not after they make an example out of me and throw away the key. So you do think you're going to jail? Let's just say that my lawyers advised me to think seriously about a 5 to 15 year hiatus from my career. Rough, he said. How about your health issue? Yeah, I said. Well, it came on suddenly. Maybe it'll go as quickly. You've had everything tested? I tapped my temple. All in my head. Had every test you can name. I had good insurance. Anyway, maybe I'll memorize a few more pointless passwords and crowd it out of my brain. I always wanted to lose a couple of pounds. Saving loads of money on food. I stopped. I could go on in that vein for a good 10 minutes. Sorry, I'm weirding you out. A little. Well, change the subject then. Do you think I could ask you for something? Based on all available evidence, I believe the answer is yes. It's a very Tristan sort of answer. He's a little frustrating, but the neurotypical are so boring. So look, the thing is, you got angry at us for doing what we did, which is fair enough. But that was about the whole package, right? It wasn't personal. It wasn't because Tristan fixed your router, right? I mean, you know he didn't look around when he was in, right? He was reading the Irish Times. It's a thing he does. He got a guarded look. Why are you asking me this? I agreed to testify for you. I think that that'd be all the reassurance you need. I spat it out before I could stop myself. I just wanted to know if this feeling, this, you know, this violated feeling, if it's just me being a wimp or what. Do you think it'll go away? Did you feel it? Oh, that. Huh. Well, in some ways, you're just feeling what every celebrity feels when the tabloids get hold of their voicemail. But of course, there's a lot more than voicemail that you lost. I'm betting there's pretty much anything you could want to know about you in there. I know if it happened to my mail, I'd be, I don't know, it'd be like being paraded naked in front of the world forever. Yeah, that's about how it feels. So I guess that's a feeling a lot more of us are going to have to get used to. There are games we can play with per password salts that'll give us better security, but there's so much legacy stuff out there and so much password reuse. You're an early adopter in the radical and voluntary transparency world, buddy. I didn't feel comforted. I have this weird idea that I'd like to do it back to the kids who did it to me, whoever they were. Spread their lives out on the net, see if they'd ever committed anything embarrassing to email. Maybe if we all do it enough, no one will remark on it anymore, and it'll be too unremarkable for anyone to bother with anymore. I don't think that's how it works. I don't think we can look away from the spectacle of other people's humiliation. It's a reflex. I think if we all got stripped bare and paraded in front of the world, you'd just have more humiliated people looking for revenge and wanting others to go through what they experienced. Eye for an eye, that sort of thing. Then the future is a place where more and more of us are more and more humiliated by more and more people in a positive feedback loop that'll spiral out to infinity and destroy the entire species? Something like that. It might take a while. He smiled weakly. Look, fine, yes, I think that this stuff is scary as hell. For my whole life, information security has favored well-informed defenders. If you knew what you were doing, technology gave you an advantage over people who wanted to get at you. But now we're heading to a point where some of that advantage goes away. Not all of it. If everyone sent and received encrypted email, breaches like yours wouldn't be so bad. But that's hard to do when you're using remote mail, and it's a pain in the ass to explain and use, and it screws up email search, which means that you've got to be a lot more diligent about your filing, and for most people that'll never happen. He stopped. Listen to me, I'm already trying to figure out how to mitigate it, like it's a brain teaser, playing what if. I guess that's how I keep from getting too freaked out. I treat it like a puzzle. Neither of us said anything. You know, it's a pretty beautiful dream, the idea of a world where people don't use vulnerabilities for evil because there's a social norm against it. This made me unexpectedly angry. You're going to say, but it's just not human nature or something like it, right? I've heard that so many times, but nearly everyone I know is nearly always pretty good. As far as I can tell, human nature is to be good to your neighbors and behave yourself. It's only a tiny minority of sociopaths or people who are having momentary lapses who do really bad stuff. I hate that we design our world for the worst of us, not the best. Where does it end? Do we take all the steak knives out of the restaurants because someone might stab someone else? The thing that really gets me is that the more we pander to crazy jerks, the more legitimate they seem. Talk about social norms. When you call being a depraved psycho human nature, you let every troll and dipshit off the hook. They're just being true to their nature. So don't tell me about human nature. I don't think I used the words human nature, he said. I mentally played back his words. He hadn't. Oh, I said, sorry. For what it's worth, I happen to agree with you. Mostly, most people are good. I'd rather live in a world organized around the good people than the nutcases, too. Mostly, I think I do. I don't carry a handgun or put bars on my windows. But every organism needs a membrane between the rest of the world and itself. A funny thing happened to me on the way to the courthouse. More specifically, a funny thing happened to the prosecuting attorney and all of his witnesses. I didn't have anything to do with it. First of all, it would have been insanely stupid for me to hack a bunch of people who had it in their power to put me in jail, and stupider still for me to stick a giant torrent online of all their email, their private status updates, their friends-only photos, their banking details and search histories, their browsing histories and voicemail transcripts, their location trails and map searches. It was quite a dump. Listen, if you are the person who uploaded that file, or if you know that person, thanks but no thanks. I mean it. It was a sweet gesture, and I'm sure, or I hope, that your heart was in the right place. But even if you don't end up in prison, and you might, it's not helping. It's not helping. It doesn't matter if Moskowski doesn't believe me when I tell him that I had nothing to do with it. It doesn't matter that Lady Tracy and Sir Tristan and Nirat Patanasai are sure that I didn't do it. What matters is that I didn't peek, not once, and I won't, ever. Someone bang the gavel. Let's get this trial underway. All right, then. That's it. Hope you have a great week.
You've been listening to the Cory Doctorow Podcast, licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Sharealike US 3.0. Or as Woody Guthrie put it in another context, this song is copyrighted in the US under Seal of Copyright 154085 for a period of 28 years, and anyone caught singing it without our permission will be a mighty good friend of ourn, because we don't give a dern. Publish it, write it, sing it, swing to it, yodel it, we wrote it, that's all we wanted to do. Many thanks to John Taylor Williams for mastering. That's Ryneck Studio, W-R-Y-N-E-C-K Studio, @gmail.com. John Taylor Williams is a full-time, self-employed audio engineer, producer, composer, and sound designer. In his free time, he makes beer, jewelry, odd musical instruments, and furniture. He likes to meditate, to read, and to cook. Talk to you next week.